65-13.
Mr. Chair, you have a couple sheets in front of you. One is an amendment and one is a legal size paper. I direct your attention to the legal size. To put some things into context, you have worked a number of budgets, and we have assumed a certain level of limitation in each of these, but the public safety agreement that the building has been operating under included $5 million of CFA to further distribute, and those have been distributed based on discussions with the co-chairs and others, including the subcommittee chair. On the far right-hand column or box on that sheet shows the allocation recommendation. The $5 million additional funding was distributed between the Department of Justice criminal victim or the crime victims programs, the first four in priority B, to the DHS or domestic violence and sexual assault victims funds, and then $350,000 to the emergency medical services and trauma systems under priority C. In addition, there was $1.4 million added over and above the $5 million for the poison control or the poison center at OHSU, and that's listed there as the last entry on this. So this reflects the discussions and the actions taken so far, and also in terms of it does have more money than the governor's budget did in CFAA, and therefore the amount of division between general fund and the public safety account, of which these are representative of, has changed from roughly 70-30, 70% going to the general fund, 30% going to the public safety fund, to roughly 66-34%, 66 going to the general fund and 34%. All this is part of the public safety agreement, and all of it still is within that $90 million and other components of that public safety agreement.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
Just a question of Doug. Doug, with the priority A funding for the VVSST and the Oregon State Police training, does that then complete the last component that's necessary to continue forward with those programs?
The DPSST dollars reflect, and the state police reflect, what was passed out of the subcommittee in terms of when we did their budgets a number of weeks ago. And, of course, the first line in the item, which is the debt service, reflects what is needed to complete or to further go forward on the construction of the facility.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, just a comment. I appreciate the concern and consideration over the area of health education centers. Those are very beneficial to rural Oregon. Appreciate the fact that if we have more resources to allocate to those, that this would be an appropriate thing for us to do.
Thank you, Representative Butler. And just for the benefit of the public, what we tried to do with the $5 million was spread it to take those priority B agencies, which we had made covenants to, I believe, last time, and had not only a moral obligation to go back and look at funding, especially a lot of the crime victims pieces, to go back and fill those as close as we could to the previous biennium's funding levels. Should we accrue some savings in the Public Safety Subcommittee, it's the chair's intent to try and fill some of the rest of these programs as well. If we're able to do that, I think that's what we've tried to do, but we tried to put the priority on the victims piece, at least in this particular measure. So that's where we're at, and that's why the priorities were set in the fashion in which they were set. Many of you were involved in various discussions, and so that's where we're at. Questions on where we're at with the criminal fines and assessments allocations?
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Devlin.
Just one question. In terms of the programs that were not in the governor's budget under OHSU and are not in the criminal fines and assessments, I can't remember if it finally came out, but the OHSU budget was in the human services or the education yesterday. Were any of these programs funded there by other sources?
Not that I'm aware of. That budget went out this morning.
And both co-chairs have reviewed this final.
Both co-chairs have reviewed this final group.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Butler.
We're in work session. We do have a quorum. I move the dash two amendments, Senate Bill 5513.
Mr. Chair, if you don't mind, can I go through that? I want to make sure you understand what's in that amendment. Mr. Chair, on lines 3 and 4 of the amendment, that makes a switch in the general fund shift and the public safety account shift, or account, the distribution between them. The rest of the first page basically is making changes to reflect the final allocation. We turn to page 2. Section 8, Section 9 of the amendments deal with poison control. The allocation in Section 8 and Section 9, it is the way is the limitation in DAS that moves the money to OHSU. OHSU is not a state agency in the traditional sense, so money that goes to them goes through DAS first. Section 10 adjusts the DOJ limitations that have already passed out of this subcommittee and actually have passed both floors to bring it in line in what needs to be given the allocations. And sections 11 on the bottom page 2 and at the top of page 3 is changes in the DHS limitations to that bill that passed out of the House Budget Committee and the House floor. To the changes that have to reflect the allocations on the long sheet of paper I gave you.
Okay. Mr. Chair, I move the dash two amendments.
Representative Butler moves the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 5513. Any objections to the dash two amendments to Senate Bill 5513?
Mr. Chairman, I was just clarifying that none of these dollars on page 2, lines 3 through 10 or so, are coming out of 911 dollars.
As much as I'd like them to be, Senator, they're not.
Thank you very much.
All right. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. The dash 2 amendments are adopted. Representative Butler.
Mr. Chair, I move the Senate Bill 5513 as amended to the full committee with a DUPAC recommendation.
Representative Butler, we have Senate Bill 5513 as amended by this committee to the floor, Senate floor, or I mean to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Carriers, Devlin.
This is good.
And I'd like to carry and full in the house.
Nobody questions it.
You don't have to carry crumbs. Close the work session on Senate Bill 5513. Open the work session on Senate Bill 421A.
Doug. Chair, will you pass up?
Okay.
Chair, what you have in front of you is House Bill 4 or Senate Bill 421. There are no amendments that we know of this bill. The bill is in front of you. There's a draft staff measure summary on the next page, and then the fiscal is on the third page. There is a small fiscal this biennium of a little over $11,000. What this bill does is reclassify for the sentencing guidelines grid. The manslaughter in the second degree and negligent homicide in the case where it involves a driver of a motor vehicle who is under the influence of intoxicants. So what it does is move these crimes from Category 8 to Category 9 on the sensing grid line. If anyone wants the grid, I have it in front. I have it for your viewing. And it also increases from a Class C to a Class B felony, criminally negligent homicide. It is our recommendation that DOC, which has $11,616 fiscal impact from this bill, that they can absorb that into their $1 billion budget.
Are there any questions of staff? We'll stand at ease until we have a quorum.
A gross version. Just for the record, too, there is a roll-up next biennium, not
yes.
this biennium, on this particular measure. So I just wanted to put that on the record for DOC.
Mr. Chair, I have a similar bill that's languishing and going to die in Ways and Means for a $70,000 item. No current fiscal impact, but a $70,000 impact in the 03-05 or 05-07, and I wish that we could move other good legislation forward, even though it has no fiscal impact or very little fiscal impact. With that, Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 421 as A engrossed to the full committee with due pass recommendation.
Thank you. I have the motion to move Senate Bill 421 A engrossed version to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. I appreciate people being here to testify on behalf of this, but it's easier to get your bill out than not. Senator Duffield does have to move, and we are going to have some discussion on one of these other measures. So as I told you before, I'm happy that you're here and happy that you've helped push this legislation. So with that, are there any objections? Seeing no objections, so ordered.
Okay.
Okay. What's that?
Full for him. For
yeah, that's fine.
Okay, in the house. Side.
You want to carry in the house? Tom? Butler in the house. Does Randy carry? Senator Miller. Why don't we let Randy carry? Our representative.
Mr. Chairman, I'll carry the full, but if either of the chief sponsors want to carry
it. Yeah, why don't we let Representative Miller carry in the House and in the full, and let Senator Devlin carry himself.
So, Mr. Chairman, I was saying, sorry to slow the process since I'm the one having to leave, but I think the bill is still
Senator
the same.
Corcoran.
If either Senator Corcoran or Senator Minnis want to carry in the Senate, that would be fine with me also. So
I'll leave happy it up to them. I'm sure they both get ample opportunity to carry numerous bills, but it doesn't matter to me if they want to do that. We can do that. All right, so we're closing the hearing on Senate Bill 421. Thank you for being here. Now we're going to open a work session on the Oregon State Police federal grant application.
Mr. Chair, you have a grant in front of you. There are people from the department, if you would like to answer this. Major Willis is here from Oregon State Police and others that may provide some technical advice. This is a grant that is coming from the Department of Homeland Security. The grant amount is just shy of $5.1 million, and the grant is to address or provide demonstration grant projects for addressing interoperability. If you recall from September 11th, a couple of years ago, one of the big items of concern were the lack of the ability to communicate between various departments, and that has also occurred in Oregon around some disasters and emergencies. And this grant, if awarded to the state, will purchase, most of the money will go for equipment to allow for addressing that issue, at least in the short term, in 12 counties, the I-5 corridor from the Washington border down to the California border, going up the gorge in Columbia County, Deschutes County, Hood River County, and Yamhill County. So it addresses a number of the counties where the bulk of the population is. It is a demonstration grant, and it is retroactive in nature at this time. It was due July 31st, last week. Originally, it was thought that a unit of Washington County was going to submit the grant, but last week it was decided that the state police would be the entity applying for the grant, and that really is why that's a retroactive in nature. Mr. Chair, that sort of concludes my remarks. I'm not sure if you want the department to make any comments.
I would like the department to make some comment in regard to this particular grant measure. I apologize, Mr. Willis, for not calling you ahead of time. Doug provided me the materials this morning. It's just been a hectic day. I do particularly have some concerns about these interoperability grants on a going forward basis. I'm concerned that the SIEC, which is a gubernatorial executive committee appointment, is the only ones who are looking at the interoperability
when I think it's incumbent upon the legislature to really look at some of those things in light of the cost that will be incurred by the state. I'm wondering, one, could you walk us through what this money is predominantly going to be used for?
Yes, Chair Patridge, members of the committee and staff. The demonstration project basically will allow some limited interoperability in all 12 of the named counties, including for the first time traveling east into Deschutes County. With Deschutes receiving the equipment, it allows them then to interact on the west side primarily with Marion and Lynn, who are both participants in this project. And what Mr. Wilson didn't say in his remarks, and what I'd like to add to his opening statement there, is the fact that we will also be interfacing with Clark County, Washington, and Vancouver, along with our California partners at the southern end of Jackson County. Basically, what this will do is provide some, for lack of a better term, some translator equipment that allows us to look at every band in the spectrum, no matter what the department is equipped with, for EMS, medical, and police, along with ODOT and other emergency management providers at the state, county, and municipal level. It does some work within existing sites to upgrade the equipment. It allows for local government to own the equipment once the vendor purchase is made and then transferred to them, so that the debt load for future maintenance is split between the state, the counties, and the cities, and would allow for, if you'd like me to get into some use examples.
Well, I'm interested in how the $5 million is going to be split up.
Oh, okay. It's repeater sites, it's hard equipment, such as the ACU 1000 translator units. It's to pay for the cost of the installation. And it is to pay for some of the planning costs in determining which of the pre-existing repeater sites are the right one to do the best good with the equipment. That's primarily what it's for.
And do you view this as a Band-Aid or the first start of a statewide solution?
This is the first start of a statewide solution. We must demonstrate, even though we all know that we want to achieve interoperability on a backbone in our state, statewide, in every community. What we need to do, though, is demonstrate through exercising and through practicing together how we actually do interoperability. It's not as simple as everybody being able to pick up the same radio microphone, key the button, and then start talking. There has to be protocols, there has to be policies, there has to be procedures. That's why the SIEC is something that, in my view, in 30 years in this business, is one of the most exciting things I've seen happen in Oregon. Because every single user group is at the table, including the League of Oregon Cities and the Association of Oregon Counties, which is very helpful. There is in the executive order, and I wanted to address the legislative side of the issue for just a moment. There are two seats on the council from the very beginning for the legislature. And whether it was because the legislature was coming into session or has been in session for some time, I don't know. But the two legislative seats, to my knowledge, have not been filled. But they're there. I think every member of that council would welcome legislative participation in this process, because you're right, this is a long-term thing. Oregon's going to be at this for a number of years into the future.
I guess my other question, however, is what's the is the grant limited to just buying equipment, or is the grant, does the grant application have a wider purview?
Well, if I may, let me ask my grant guy that actually did the nuts and bolts of this thing to give you a more specific answer, if I might.
Yeah, please.
Okay.
Chair,
this is Lieutenant Terry Griffin. He's the commander of our Northern Communications Center. Terry, if you'd like to bring the chair up.
Maybe Mr. Griffin could go ahead and address the issue of using the local resources as well. Whether or not we've got the Columbia, Deschutes, Washington, Yamhill counties on board to kick in $1.7 million.
To answer your first question, Mr. Chair, this grant is somewhat limited.
It includes equipment. It includes personnel costs for installation. It does not include buildings. So if we need to build new buildings, that's not included. We'll look at the sites and then determine at a later date if we have to do some modifications. Representative Butler, to answer your question, the match is a soft match, it's in-kind match. We do have letters from each one of the counties and a verbal agreement from Deschutes County giving us authorization. That was one of our first initial steps that we knew we could go ahead.
And I have a further question regarding repeater sites.
Representative Butler.
Thank you. Mr. Willis has indicated repeater sites have been included. Aren't these repeater sites and the buildings already located and established? Surely we're not going to find higher mountains somewhere or those kinds of things. Those certainly have always been identified, I would have thought.
Yes, sir, they have. The issue is whether or not there's room to accommodate the equipment that we need to put in. There may be an instance where we have to choose an alternate site to make certain that we have the availability of the existing room.
I guess the only response that I would have to that would be the concern that, you know, with the beefed up equipment, most of this is probably much more compact and using more of the high technology, the modern technology that's being utilized, and I would hope that the old tube radios are being replaced with chip and high-speed other equipment that's much more durable, much more reliable, and smaller.
They are pretty compact compared to what we had previously.
And more efficient, I would think, too.
More energy efficient.
More energy efficient, that's what I meant to say.
Okay. I guess I'm at the position where I'm not inclined to, I want to approve the grant, but I need to understand this grant better. I've been working on the interoperability issue all session. I'm concerned that, one, we sent this to Washington County to begin with, to be the grant administrator through the SIEC. Now it's back at State Police. Now we're being asked for a retroactive grant approval when we've been dealing with this policy issue, I think, since the beginning. So I'm not inclined to move forward right now. What I'd like to do is reschedule the committee for tomorrow and maybe talk with State Police further and Bill further or do this. Do we know if we have a full schedule for tomorrow, Doug?
I believe there's one at 1:30, Mr. Chair.
Okay, so
what time can we schedule in the morning to come in
through the grant request?
We have a general government tomorrow morning.
Representative Butler, do you know?
I haven't checked. We do have a couple of bills that I referred back down to the legislative fiscal, but I haven't checked whether they got them scheduled yet or not. We may well have, which we could just stagger it in by a half hour.
Okay.
We're all here.
Why don't we do a 9 o'clock tomorrow?
Okay.
So we'll carry this over till 9 o'clock.
All right. Why don't you just stay? We'll just chat. Okay.
And with that, we are adjourned to